Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Got a great interview episode for you all today with Lady Gang. If you're not familiar, Lady Gang is one of the most successful podcasts around since 2015. It's comprised of Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek. Now, Becca and Kelty have been on Everything Iconic before, but this is Jack's first time, and we've never had them all together, so I'm super excited. I love them. And it's sort of a hot topics episode because we get into all sorts of different things. We talk about hustle culture, work culture. We talk about J-Lo's wedding dress, which was revealed right before I got on the Zoom with them. J-Lo's wedding dress looks were revealed. Now, we had seen one of the dresses right before we recorded, but I think there was a few different dresses. So there are multiple dresses happening at the J-Lo Ben Affleck wedding. But we get into all sorts of stuff. They have a new book out called Ladies' Secrets. It's out September 20th, so you get it at your local independent bookstore. You could pre-order it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places. So I'm going to play my chat. Before I do, I want to say please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino. And wherever you listen to Everything Iconic, if you could click the subscribe or follow button, it would be wonderful. We're getting some new merch at everythingiconic.store, which, speaking of books, we do have copies of my book, How Do I Unremember This?, where you can get at everythingiconic.store, you can get an autographed copy. So I know people have been asking me for signed copies. So just go to everythingiconic.store. We got them in just now, and we're hoping to get some new merch in for the holidays, some t-shirts and fun stuff. But for now, we do have the books in, so you can get those autographed at everythingiconic.store. Without further ado, please enjoy my chat. We'll be back later this week with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recaps. So we have so much housewife stuff to talk about, so much Brava to talk about. But for now, please enjoy my chat with Lady Gang. And yeah, we were talking about J-Lo right off the bat. Enjoy.
No, I just think J-Lo just gets better. Every year, I just become a bigger fan.
Mm-hmm. She must have sold her soul to the devil. I don't understand.
Why?
Because she's just she looks so beautiful. She looks better and better and better.
Well, I think genetically, she's really just been very blessed. And I think that when you are, she's gotten the best advice on how to maintain her face.
She's using a J-Lo skincare, you know?
Ladies, I got to introduce you. Hold on. I wanna get all this. So just everyone be quiet for a minute, and I'm going to introduce you. I love you all. Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. Those voices you hear are the voices of Lady Gang, Jack, Kelty, and Becca. They have a new book out called Lady's Secrets, September 20th. You can pre-order it now. Get it. I love the book too, but we're talking about J-Lo and the wedding dress was just revealed. What did you all think of the Ralph Lauren dress?
I mean, it's fucking chic as fuck.
I was just going to say, like, I don't think... And maybe this is the wrong thing to say on the day we're celebrating her wedding, but like, I don't think any of her wedding looks have ever disappointed, except the first one.
Wait, how many people?
What was the first one?
She had
there's been three.
Daisies in the hair, white slip dress with daisies in the hair and an updo bouffant. That was not my favorite, but the Chris Judd dress at the time was insanity. It was so beautiful. And then Mark Anthony, right?
Oh gosh, I forgot.
So yeah. Anyway,
I was a little disappointed that she did another wedding because I love the idea of like a Vegas thing.
Right.
And so I thought that was it. And I was so excited about that. I thought, oh my God, she's done the big weddings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were all expecting the big wedding.
Yeah.
And so I thought she really bucked expectation by going to the Vegas route. And then she did this anyway. But I was also very disappointed that allegedly Leah Remini wasn't there. And that's scary to me because I love them together. They're like my favorite celebrity friendship.
Did it say why she wasn't there? She's working or something?
You know, I did my research last night and I couldn't find an answer. Ben's brother was also not there, but he had like posted an Instagram or something. But as of this recording, I have not seen why Leah's not there, but maybe
need to know.
By the time this is out, it'll be out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if like it's as many people are wondering about Leah as there were if Casey didn't show up. You know, she's not her sister. I mean, they are like sisters, but not really sisters. So that could be why. They could have just thought, oh, she's working and we don't really need to explain it. But people, we want to know.
the gays care more about the Leah remedy than the Casey Affleck. I can say that much.
Oh, yeah.
I will say one time I was interviewing Leah and I asked her something about J-Lo and I said J-Lo and she goes, you mean Jennifer?
Oh.
And I was like, oh, you're such a good friend.
Yes. But it's like, but you can't call her Jennifer. Yeah. Only I can call her Jennifer.
Exactly. It's amazing.
I love it. I want to get into some other hot topics, but before we do, I want to talk a little bit about this book because, and I say this, I hope you take it as a compliment because I mean it in the best, most complimentary ways. Like I can't even think of a better compliment for this book because it reminded me of like reading Teen Vogue or Cosmo as a teenager and like seeing the embarrassing stories in there, which I always felt like those were the best parts of those magazines. And I want to say it was Cosmo that people would write in and tell these embarrassing stories about anything from like a bowel movement to a bad date to whatever. And this book, Lady Secrets of yours, is loaded with these stories. So can you tell us a little bit about, maybe Jack, start with you. Like, did people write in these stories? I know you all wrote some of your own as well, but like, how did this come together?
Well,
was that the sort of spark?
Well, number one, that is like the biggest compliment ever. It's basically what the book is to an extent, but it's kind of crazy. As you grow up into womanhood, even crazier shit happens to you and you have so much to write about. But it did kind of start off, we had our first book called Act Like a Lady, where we all shared our stories and shared some advice. Turns out everybody really just wants to hear more stories from us because we have some wacky lives and some weird shit's happened to us. So we started by writing all of our deepest, darkest secrets into this book that we wanted to release out into the universe. And then we would be nothing without our community. We've always said that the Lady Gang is so much bigger than the three of us. And so we wanted our community to be involved because as women, you know, we carry a lot of shame when it comes to secrets and with things that we're not supposed to be telling anybody about and, you know, actions that we may do that men get praised for that we feel embarrassed for. So we kind of wanted to share this little gift that we gave ourselves by releasing our secrets out into the world and share it with our lady gang. And we had 10,000 submissions, something like that, that we had to sift through because everybody was very excited to share some of their deepest, darkest. So that's how it kind of started.
Yeah.
It reminded me of something that everyone could get together at like a sleepover or slumber party, or even if you're obviously it's geared towards adults too, but I imagine like everyone just get some cocktails and read some of these stories. I have one that I printed from the book that I hope you will indulge me if I read it. It's a quick one.
Yes, please.
And then maybe we'll go to you, Becca, and get your take on this. But so this was a story that somebody wrote in called The Climax.
Classic, you know?
They wrote, when I was in elementary school, I would climb the rope in gym class or at recess, and I would get tingly feelings down there. Obviously, at that age, I had no idea what was happening. As I got older, still in elementary school, it started to feel even better. And I would climb the rope every chance I got. Sometimes it would even end really well. And I'd have to play it cool in front of everyone when I was done. I did this often, even throughout junior high. It wasn't until my first orgasm by a guy in high school that I realized that what was happening to me every time I climbed the rope. Pretty sure I've had more orgasms as a child climbing that rope than I've had with men as an adult. So yeah. Becca, I mean, reading something like this for the first time, like I would imagine getting a submission like that, you're like, okay, that's exactly what we're looking for.
That was like, she nailed the assignment.
Yeah,
you know?
She did.
And as an early masturbator myself and somebody who didn't even know what I was doing when I was doing it, I probably have given myself more orgasms
before the age
of like 13 than any man has ever. Sorry, Zach. I just, you know what it is? It's honestly, when I read that, I was like, I was reminded of doing those things as a young girl. And I was like, this makes me feel so much more normal. It's like every time I think that we've heard it all from the community and this community, because we're oversharers, every time you're like, oh my God, me too. Oh my God, me too. And you just feel so united and so normal. And at the end of the day, I think, aren't we all just trying to feel normal? I mean, ish.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just read that and I was like, oh, if only, and I want young girls to read this book. I know it sounds really inappropriate, but I want the younger, the better, because there are so many things I lost sleep over and stressed out about and thought, am I a horny creep?
Yeah.
Because I like to like rub on a stuffed animal every once in a while. No, you're not. You're normal.
Well, and Becca made a really good point about this. And what we've learned about the book is that the fact that like none of these secrets are really that unique.
No.
And I think that by as a woman reading this book, like it does make you feel less alone, and it makes you feel less weird or creepy or like a loser, because we've all as women experienced a lot of the same similar things that we're too scared to admit to anybody. Mm-hmm. So I feel like for this, it's like kind of, you know, reading your own story in a sense where it's like, oh my God, this thing that's been weighing me down and making me feel horrible for 35 years is normal.
Yeah, like we want women who are parents to, like this is the thing, when women joke about finding crusty socks in their teenage boy's room and they're like, oh, it's just a normal thing. It's a normal thing. Like, I also want you to acknowledge that your daughter is probably humping her forearm, and that's okay too. Give her the privacy she deserves.
Right. These are all things that people go through. And I know it's a book called Lady Secrets, but as I was reading that particular story, it's like, I remembered my health class in eighth grade, and I had like, I had a belt around my jeans, and I always had hand-me-downs for my brothers because we didn't, you know, have a lot of money. And so I always had to wear their clothes, and sometimes they would fit, sometimes they didn't. But I remember I had a pair of jeans that I had to be tied together with a belt, and it always made like the crotch area come up. And I remember this, it came in health class. This girl looked over at me and noticed it, and it was not a boner, but of course she called me boner boy for like the week or whatever. And what it was traumatizing.
But, God.
Big bully, but that's another story. But so it's like, I think anyone can read some of these cringe horror stories and relate in some way. And I think it's exciting. Kelty, I want to get to you now. There's this other cringe story, maybe not as cringe, but it's a story about petty cash from the book. Yeah. And essentially this person was writing in that they were in charge of the petty cash at their work.
Yep.
And there was a certain dollar amount that they would pocket some of the difference. And I wonder, did you ever have a job where you stole or where you did any of this kind of things? Because I worked at a real estate office, and I used to go into the supply room and take like batteries all the time and all sorts of stuff.
Batteries is a good one.
I mean, I love this for you, and you, that's why I love you so much, is that Danny, we're like office supply people. Like we would go and be like, you know what I need is 10 legal pads. Like, and that was so thrilling. Like stapler. While everyone else was like getting a lipstick from Walmart, like trying to steal that,
you know, like, or let like me get some staples.
I'm let like, me get oh, some double A's.
I love a highlighter set. Yes.
A 3-hole punch and I'm happy.
But you know what? Every company has internal theft factored in to their business plan because this happens, because it's normal. Not to say anybody should, but like if you have, you're
don't
not
feel
alone.
Bad about it. I will say I'm pretty big rule follower, but I
Danny's face when you said that was so good. He was like, "We know."
I should have asked the other two what they stole from offices.
But I will say, when I was a child, my first job at 15 was being the chicken bone breaker at Lee's Chicken in my town, and I had a boyfriend, and he worked at Little Caesar's Pizza next door, and sometimes I'd fry him up a chicken sandwich and deliver it, and we didn't pay for that chicken sandwich. Oh my God!
Wow, that's romance.
Little Caesars.
Wait, Kelty, I also always forget, like, and I know we probably talked about this before, but that you were on The Bachelor. And as I was reading, there's a little portion of the chapter talking about you getting cast on The Bachelor. And I'm like, I always just sort of forget that you were there.
You're not the only one in the world.
Did it, but you were let go after, 2 weeks? It was it Brad Womack season?
It was 3 days. Thank you. 3 full days. Yes, I was on Brad Womack's season of The Bachelor. So I had gone through this very bad breakup, and I was a pathetic whole of a person. And I had met this big hosting agent in LA, and she was like, Deanna Pappas and whoever these, if you want to be a host, you just have to go on The Bachelor. And I was like, well, okay, I love a list. I will do this. So I signed up, and I was heartbroken and single. So I was like, this is amazing. And it takes forever. So by the time I got cast on the show, I had met and was starting to date my now husband, but we weren't dating. We were like on date 3 when I got the call, and I was like, I will never trust a man. I will never give up a career opportunity to go on a date. So I was like, I literally sat him down and was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I got to break this off. I'm going on The Bachelor. Then what the secret is in the book is that I may or may not have taken him downtown to LA to Santee Alley to buy me a $30 $32 yellow strapless prom dress that I was going to wear on The Bachelor when I won it and got engaged. Now, what really happened is that on night 1, I looked at Brad Womack and I was like, you're not for me. And on night 2, we went to like some charity thing and they dressed me up with 2 arm casts and he was like, I'm not into you, and I didn't get a rose. And then I was so non-rememberable, Danny, that they didn't invite me to after the final rose. So I didn't even get to do that part where I got to sat and judge the rest of the people and be like, I have something to say about what happened in these later episodes. I didn't even get to, I bought a dress to wear to Women Tell All. And I didn't wear it because they didn't invite me, but then I got my job at The Insider and I wore that dress to the American Music Awards with a top hat. It's one of the worst looks I've ever worn on the red carpet, but then I got the hosting job, so it all worked out, and perhaps the agent was right. Good night.
And
full circle, and I think it's a lesson to us all not to wear a top hat.
No, the top hat was the biggest the biggest lesson. Danny, I don't know if you've seen it, but if you ever need to brighten your day, you need to YouTube Kelty getting kicked off The Bachelor, because it's the most iconic 30 seconds of TV that you will ever watch in your entire life.
It's her in the car, right?
No, it's, is it you in the car?
Are you in the limo?
No, you're standing. She didn't even get a limo. She was at the house.
They took me in a van.
Oh, it was her standing outside of like a cocktail party.
It was like the after thing.
It reminds me of Housewives when they have like a friend of that doesn't or gets invited to the reunion, but then they cut out the footage. It's like so embarrassing.
Yes.
Where they get cut out. They film for the whole season and then they're just like completely edited out of it.
Yeah.
And they get maybe like one little moment. It's so embarrassing.
You know, that's my biggest fear is being asked to come on the Real Housewives and get cut out because I'm not psycho enough.
Mm. Yeah. But Danny, would do you think Cherie...
Would any of you do Housewives?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Jack doesn't want to work. I'm dying for someone to ask me. I literally was like, do you think they'll... Okay, in my head, this is how crazy I am. I was like, the other day, I was like, okay, when they ask
again,
me...
Again, Danny's knowing smile. He's like, here it comes.
I thought in my head, Danny, I thought this. I thought, when they ask me to be a housewife in Beverly Hills, okay?
Sure.
I'm going to have them shoot the drone footage of my house in Sherman Oaks, which is a big house, but it's big because it's in Sherman Oaks. It's not in Beverly Hills. I can't afford a house in Beverly Hills. And then I'll have them lie and say that I live in Beverly Hills so I could be a housewife in Beverly
Hills. No, Dorit lives in Encino, and she's still a housewife at Beverly Hills.
Yeah, they don't live in Beverly Hills. They don't all live there.
Oh, I'm definitely doing it then.
I don't think any of them live in...
I
feel like LVP was like the only one who actually...
Kelty.
I think Kyle was in Calabasas. Right?
I really think that Kelty needs to get on a housewife. Like, you really are phenomenal for that role.
We could make this happen. Everything iconic listeners could make this happen, I feel like. I at least maybe can get you on. I don't know. You have to deliver, though. We could maybe get you on an episode. Like, get you invited to one of the parties and then just get fucking nuts at the party.
I've got splits. I've got splits like Kyle Richards. I've got nothing to hide and nothing to lose like Erica Jane.
Oh, my God. But Kelty is the right of... Her brain is perfect for this. Like, you could be conniving.
No, you guys, you're missing.
Wait. Speaking of embarrassing Kelty moments, though, I just saw on TikTok that you posted the facelift that you got for Lady Gang on the E! Channel.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's so Housewives. Like,
I know, she's ready.
That could be your audition video. Like, you should just send them that.
I have to tell you something. I know Housewives better than anybody here, except for maybe you. She could never do it because she does not know how to be catty or talk shit. Like, if you go to Kelty wanting to talk shit about another woman, she's vacant. It doesn't thrill her. It doesn't excite her. She doesn't like
that's
to see.
Not gonna work.
She's never. No. It's never gonna work. Never gonna work.
Damn it.
But I love to take direction.
Wait,
so
I feel like you could pretend for the fame.
No.
Wait, Becca, can I ask you, did you learn anything about being a housewife when you were on the Glee set? Because you know I'm endlessly fascinated. You know I'm always going to ask you about the Glee set
because
I'm endlessly fascinated by it. And I need some sort of Ryan Murphy. Like, why haven't we gotten... Like, I just saw this expose. I don't know if you read this. I think it was in The Insider about the Glee Project, which I also watched. And it was like how fucked up the Glee Project was and how like...
Wait, why?
These people were put... They were put in like a campsite and they didn't actually like show that the people had to live together. But like they didn't know how they were doing the show. It was all like thrown together at the last minute. So they made all these people stay at like a campgrounds because it was the only place that they could find at like the last minute that would house all these people. So they had to go to like an outhouse where the producers told them like, watch out for ticks. And then they, on the actual airing of the Glee Project show, they didn't show any of them living at home. They only showed them, so they all had any of them living at this campsite. So they cut all of that footage, but it's like wild to me.
First of all, this is all news to me because I joined I think it was all kind of happening around the same time. But I never watched the Glee Project, and I was kind of confused. Like, we would be shooting the show, and someone would join, and they'd be like, "Oh, it's so and so from the Glee Project," and I'm like, "What is this thing? Is it like a boot camp to get in? I don't know." It was very confusing, and I'm glad that you remembered it because I forgot about it for a while.
That is very bizarre.
You have got to read the expose on it. It just came out like yesterday or a couple of days ago. It's so funny to me, like. And I watched it, but that whole set, like, I think there needs to be some sort of feud because there's still stuff keeps coming out about, like, what was going on there. And I'm like, how did this all happen?
They're trying. So there's somebody out there who's trying desperately to put together like a documentary or a tell all or a something or other who keeps contacting us like relentlessly.
No way. Oh my really? God.
Yeah.
Like a Friends special where you all sit on the couch and discuss.
No, probably more like a, you know, what was really happening. Here's the thing though. This is what's why it will never happen. It doesn't matter what happened on that set. At the end of the day, it's a family. It's like a big dysfunctional family, and there's a loyalty there, like mob mentality, where I'm like, I don't care how much I hated this person at work. There's something that runs so deep in my blood that I could hate you so much, but I don't hate you enough. I don't hate us enough to go do that. Like, it's this really weird thing that we all have. Like, don't get me wrong. There are moments where you think, this is it. This is it. It's just not going to happen. It's like The Sopranos. Like, we're never going to say where the bodies are buried. Nothing.
Yeah. Until maybe one random person does.
I'm like that with Housewives, where with Housewives, like if I say something about them, it's fine. But like if I hear someone who doesn't watch Housewives talk shit about them, I get like really pissed. Even if it's a housewife that I absolutely hate that I want off the show, it's like if you watch it, that's fine. You could say it. You're part of our family here.
Yeah.
You're part of the family, in the words of Caroline from Jersey. But otherwise, no, I don't want you to hear. But I do need some sort of like, I just want like even a book or something, like an oral history book about that set, something.
I mean, I don't know.
It's good stuff there.
I don't know. There's a lot of good stuff. But you know, I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Because we're on our second book and we've never gotten a Glee essay yet.
No.
That's true. Not even a Glee mention.
I know there's
really.
There's one essay in there. There's a Glee mention in the new one about Becca, some B-lister that was like dating you around the time. There's stuff where it's like at the time of Glee.
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, I want the stories about the Glee sets. Like, I need just, you know, give me some good Leah Michelle goss. Give me some good something.
There's hot something. Goss all over that
okay,
set.
Wait. We got to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more from Lady Gang. I want to remind everyone that I'm on TikTok now, at Danny Pellegrino. So I'm trying to post clips of the podcast recordings over on the TikTok page, at Danny Pellegrino. Go check it out there. Also, if you want to see full interviews on the YouTube channel, you can go to youtube.com/DannyPellegrino1. Make sure you click subscribe and follow, and we'll be right back. I want to get your take on something that's going around on TikTok right now called quietly quitting. Have you heard of this term?
No.
It's about people at work. They're quietly quitting. So basically the younger generation, I believe we're all around millennial age-ish here, but the younger generation, they're recognizing that they're not able to get ahead as quickly and they're not able to advance in the workplace as much. And so they're essentially doing the jobs that they were hired for, but they're not going above and beyond the way that maybe our generation did to try to get ahead. And I'm curious, this is also something that's been coming up a lot lately. And I know you talk about entrepreneurship on your show, and I'm always so fascinated by this topic. And so I wonder what your take on this is, whether it be quietly quitting or work ethic. And there was this whole Kim Kardashian quote that went around that was like, get your ass up to work. I just want to get your take. Like, where do you land on getting your ass up to work?
Let me say this, Danny. There was an amazing article on Elle.com yesterday that went live, and it was like, are we over ambition?
Yeah.
And it was kind of like this end of the ambitious woman, because, I think obviously it goes for men too, but it's like, we were sold a crapshoot. We grew up in the generation that was like, okay, you're going to start at a corporation, you're going to work your ass off, and then you're going to get overstepped and underpaid and all these things. So go out on your own and create your own thing. And then you create your own thing and you're like, wait, that's hard too. And then you're like, wait, my husband always says to me, how much more is more? Mm-hmm. Like, if you can go on your cute vacation to Hawaii once a year, if you can have a little shop when you want to, like, if that makes you happy, like, I can buy a new book when I want to, and that brings me joy. Like, if you're living within your means and you feel like you have a good life, like, why are we hustling so hard? Like, why are we why does Kim Kardashian say none of us want to work anymore? But it's like, it kind of gets exhausting. And that's why I think the quietly quitting and the like, I'm doing the bare minimum has come about, because it's like, I hustled for a company for 10 years, you know, and it was like, great. And then at the end, you're like, great. I hustled for, I gave 10 years of my Christmases, of my long weekends, of checking my email on Saturday morning. Like, for what? It was wonderful.
Nothing
but
to
like,
show for it.
I mean, I have some things to show for it. I have great shoes.
She lives in a giant house in Sherman Oaks.
Massive house.
So take that, Gen Z. You want to live in a mansion in Sherman Oaks? You're going to have to give 10 years of your life away. It's all, you know, relative. It's all. Yeah. I mean, it's well, negotiation.
Jack, what would you attribute to your success on Lady Gang? What are some tips or what would you recommend to some young women who are listening to this, who have seen your path and success? What would you give them?
Well, I was also going to say something that we were just talking about. I think that this younger generation's kind of realizing that like everything is a scam. Like, we're the first generation that like can't afford a house, and everything is so fucking inflated, and we're never going to make enough money, and we're kind of just the grind. And it's kind of, people are just realizing, for what? Am I going to put all this money and save all this money so I can be happy for like the last 5 years of my life if I don't die unexpectedly before that? So I think that people are
so dark,
but it's true. And I think a lot of people are realizing it, where they're just trying to enjoy the little life that they have. And it's just so different from what we've been kind of like hammered down our heads by generations above us who had it a lot easier than us. So that's what I have to say about that. With,
but Jack also only has had one real job in her life at Old Navy. And
no, but this is what I was going to say.
She quietly quit that thing. And by quietly quit, she just didn't show up because she wanted to go to spring break and just didn't tell them.
And she was like, I just didn't come in. And they're like, no, you have to come in.
Yeah.
Or
no,
tell
I was quietly fired. So for me, I mean, I started my business when I was in college, and like, thankfully for me, it kind of took off by the time I was graduating college that I was able to go into it full time. And by doing that, I've kind of had this entrepreneurial spirit my entire adult life. And I'm very thankful for that, because when I was younger, I was so stupid and I didn't really realize the risks of doing that and how stressful that would be relative to like having a stable job. So it's kind of all I've known. So it's molded who I am as a person, just always knowing to take a risk and knowing that I'm not going to be financially stable all of the time, and I'm not going to always know when the next check is coming in, but it allows me to be creative. And I think that that's what I brought to the Lady Gang, and a little bit of knowledge when it comes to like starting your own business. But yeah, it's just, it's a hard thing to dive in when you're already an adult and you've already had like a normal job for so long, that I feel kind of lucky I got to do it when I was so young that I didn't know any better.
And one of the things with this quietly quitting thing, not to go back to it, but I think the younger generation is realizing that they can forge their own paths. Whereas we were maybe taught that it was like, you have to work for a company for a certain amount of time, and there were building blocks and steps. Whereas now people are realizing, oh, I can do my own thing, or I can start my business, or I could do this instead. It doesn't have to be a traditional work path that
I have a theory.
What? Oh God.
There are still the people out there, the young people, I know them, who are going to law school and taking their LSATs, and they want, their personality type is, they like structure, they like to know what's coming, they like to know that they're going to have health insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Those people are still out there. But the people quietly quitting are the people who are most active on social media, okay? It's the loudest people of the generation are, shockingly enough, also the people who don't want to put on a pencil skirt and be in corporate America. Like, those are the outspoken people of Gen Z. There are still Gen Zers out there who want a job and they want to eventually have a mortgage. And that's like, I think we're getting a skewed version of what Gen Z is really like, because the people that are most outspoken are the people who don't want real jobs because they want to be famous on social media.
Yeah, you are right.
Right. Right. That real estate job that I mentioned a while back, they had let me go, or they had told me they were letting me go, but they wanted me to like ride it out for 2 weeks. So for that, those last 2 weeks, like I just sat at the desk and they would give me work and I would literally just say to them, I'm like, I'm not doing this. Like, you guys let me go.
Ride it out.
There's no way I'm doing more work for you after you've let me go.
So there, speaking of quietly quitting, this is the last thing I'll say about this, but there, the opposite of quietly quitting is something that's been happening to a friend of my fiance's job. He works at like a corporate car company. And instead of quietly quitting, these people are on these Slack channels with every employee that's in the company, and they're going out in a blaze of glory quitting and basically saying fuck you to the entire company and just screaming at everybody. And I think that, you know, maybe they deserve it, but that is the opposite of quietly quitting if you want to do that in your life as an option.
Right. Is it, since we're talking about all this work stuff, I didn't mean to make this whole conversation about work stuff, but I'm curious. There is also a tweet going around about Hollywood nepotism babies.
And this is a topic that's come up.
I think Gwyneth Paltrow was like, who do you think is the
best, done it the best
kid of a famous person who's done success? Yeah, like who's the most successful? Like a Gwyneth Paltrow, a Drew Barrymore. Quite recently, I've fallen in love with Zoe Dutch. Is that how you say her last name?
Yeah, wait,
I don't know much about her, so there might be something that she's great.
Yeah, I like Zoe Deutsch.
Leah Thompson, and her dad's a
huge
director. She's great, though. But so who do you think is the best? Who has done it the best?
Do you want us to answer, like, there's, like, who has done it the best and
made something of themselves?
Who has, like, cheated the system and, like, would not be there if they didn't have famous parents?
Oh, I like both. Like, whatever comes to mind first.
Well, I'm going to say something polarizing, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if this isn't even a commentary. It's just interesting to me that Nicola Peltz
that married
Brooklyn Beckham. Mm-hmm. That is like the most magical combo of a Nepo baby and a trust fund baby. Like it doesn't get richer. And I mean rich in all aspects. It's so rich.
Wait, is she a trust fund baby?
Her dad's like a billionaire.
Yeah, she's rich.
With a B. Oh, shit. Yeah.
It's like richer than the Beckhams.
Rich.
So
so it's like I have the jet, but you have the paparazzi.
Like she saw that he could listen. I'm sure they're in love. It's young love. It's beautiful. Whatever. They're probably having amazing sex. But she's like, you have the paparazzi following you around, and there's not enough money in the world that's going to get me those paparazzi. So like, and you want the real money. Like your parents have been invited on private jets, but they didn't own the private jet. So they were like, Jesus Christ, our powers combined. And they are like the ultimate couple. And I just talk about the luckiest people in the world.
I read an article dragging.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
I saw people dragging him because he's had all these very public careers. He's been a chef and he's been a photographer. And I think at his age, we've all sort of gone through those different careers and we've cycled through things and trying to figure ourselves out. But he's done it on such a public stage. And so like when he's saying, I'm going to be a chef, he's invited on Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or one of those shows to do a cooking demo, even though he's just figuring it out. Whereas like when we were younger and learning, it's like, I wouldn't be invited on fucking Jimmy Kimmel to do a
you wouldn't even be invited over to your aunt's house. It's like, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
You know what? And Danny, like, I love you and I love this podcast. You know how I feel about you as a talent, but like, this is our second book and we're New York Times bestselling authors and we're not being invited anywhere. You know what I mean?
Right, it's hard to get on a talk show, and we're New York Times bestselling
authors. That's what I'm saying.
They don't want us.
I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily, I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now, Cozy is fantastic, a North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now, Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now, Cozy offers beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving, credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made
for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit cozy.com, spelled C-O-Z-E-Y, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, C-O-Z-E-Y.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I gotta let you all go, and I would love to talk to you forever and ever and ever, but we're gonna get this book, Lady Secrets. It's gonna be your second New York Times bestseller. I think it's really a great book, and I'm not even just saying, like, because I could bullshit this whole thing and say, like, oh, it's great, whatever, blah, 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 bullshit. But I really think it's, like, the perfect book for a group of friends. Like, if you're going on, like, a road trip, or if you're traveling with some friends and you need, like, an icebreaker book, to me, it's, like, a perfect thing where you just, it gets the conversations flowing. I mean, I read just, like, a couple of quick little things, but it's very 90s Cosmo in the best of ways. So I think groups of friends, if you're just looking for that kind of icebreaker thing, pick up Lady Secrets. It's out September 20th. Pre-order. Now, pre-orders are so important. Kelty, I know you got the New York Times bestseller thing. We're making it happen.
Please check in on our well-being. When that list comes out, please, you will understand more than anyone. Like, just check on her, you know?
Yeah. But it's a thrilling thing. Were you thrilled when you became a New York Times bestselling author? Like, come on.
And I think I told you this on your show. Kelty, you were texting me. You're like, okay, here's, because I texted you before mine came out. I was like, hey, I'm trying to figure out some tips. Like, how did you guys do with the release and everything? And you were like, here's how we're going to do it. And you were like giving me all these helpful hints and tips, and it was wonderful. And so, yeah, I think it is a big deal, though. It's a huge deal, and it's very hard to get on that specific list. But any of those bestseller lists are very hard to get. And to get anyone to buy a book now is very challenging, because as much as I love to read, and so I'm buying books all the time, but it's hard. Some people just don't read or don't have the time. But I think you could pick up an audiobook or pick up the book and read. I think it's important for people to read at least like a book or two a year to just sort of get the mind going. And I think it's a really healthy thing for the brain.
And this is an easy one to read. Like, it's not strenuous at all.
No,
so.
No big words.
Danny, I just want to pitch one last thing before you go. Yeah. Do you want to start like a book club podcast where we just read, like, I'm reading the Anna Wintour biography right now, and it is like, there's so much I could talk to you about. Like, it's just incredible.
I do want to do like a book club. I've been doing more like author episodes on my show because I just like talking about it. And I have this fantasy because there are so many book clubs, but there's not really like a gay led book club, not for gay books, just like there's always these, because when I was releasing my book, I know the publisher sends it out to different places, and a lot of what we were hearing back from those book clubs were like, they choose female authors, which is a wonderful thing to spotlight. But I just noticed that, and I was like, I would love for there to be a place to spotlight a lot of gay authors, but also just sort of like a gay heading it. So I do have this fantasy of that.
Oh, you should.
Oh, you got to do it.
But also, it seems like more work. But I'm quietly quitting. That's what I'm interested in doing going forward. Like, I don't want to add more work to me.
Oh my God, we love you.
But we'll figure out something, Kelty. Thank you all. I love you all so much, and congrats on the success and the launch of the book. Everyone, get Lady Secrets and listen to Lady Gang wherever you get your podcast. Thank you all so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.